Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody here. Our opening hymn, prelude hymn, is How Great Thou Art, 77 in your hymn books.
Angel Foods Pantry, in Marengo. They're in need of some food pantry items for the Angels food pantry. And you could bring it here and I could take the library, but the library is collecting. And I put a thing on the bulletin board down there. They need canned vegetables, canned fruit, mac and cheese, spaghetti sauce, pasta, rice meal, breakfast items, cereal, oatmeal, protein bars, and picnics. So that was fun. And then, of course, this is October for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so I made me wear a shirt. And then, also, the women, we do this ongoing, but October's the month we collect the pop tabs, so if you have any, bring them in for the Ronald McDonald House. And Sarah's still collecting for Bennington, and she can fill you in on items that she needs. So. Yeah, and don't forget, next Sunday's a very exciting women's service. You don't want to miss it. I guess that's it.
That's
and
right.
I've got one. This year, we're going to do have the church have a presence in the trick-or-treat in Chester Mill, so we're going to have a table that has decorating small pumpkins, and we'll be showing VeggieTales, hopefully, on the side of the building somewhere, and handing out little treat bags, and as well as some candy, we're going to have the little mini Jesus figures and a little card that says, "Everybody needs a little Jesus," and maybe a few other things in the little baggies for the kids. And we'll have our church cards at the table as well. So we would be grateful to accept any donations of candy that we can put in the treat bags. So I put a box down in the fellowship hall on the back table, which is labeled in. So we've got some in there already, but we'll be collecting for the next, at least, because the 25th is, we need to probably fill up the bags before the 25th. So thank you very much.
Okay, be sure and check your mailboxes. I just realized, Pastor, I got three Bens in a row there.
Yes, you do.
That's right. Change is good.
It's nothing personal, so. We love being in front of you. For our seat.
Good to have you guys with us today. Any other announcements?
We're working.
Okay. Pastor, we have two guys here with birthdays today.
I was going to make a comment, but I opted out. All right, let's sing Happy Birthday to you.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy anniversary for.
And out of respect for Tammy, if we could do it like really melancholy and sad, and you know, sort of drag it out.
Here's the tissues.
Tears would be good. Whatever we can do to.
Could we pull it off in a lighter key?
Or ashes and sackcloth.
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
We might have to repeat it downstairs.
And many more.
Yes.
Now, it's not your
practice
with
you,
right?
Pardon?
Not your idea.
No.
Next time in French.
Will he know if we ask him?
Yes, he will.
Absolutely.
Better than me. He's on it.
How many?
40.
Just half of that, Dave. Half of that.
I like
that,
it.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yes.
Yeah, we're the kids.
They're cutting out the front row.
What are you going to do?
Your wife.
40s until next Sunday.
That's right. That's right.
She said she'd give me 40 and then we'd reevaluate.
Get your performance review.
Right.
Let's together, let's say our mission statement. I said that for a while, found it in front of your bulletin. Let us be examples of Christ's love
as we prepare God's people for eternity.
Please join me in prayer for the invocation. God the Father, we thank you for the beautiful day you brought us. We thank you for everyone that you have brought out here today. And that we may enjoy each other's company after church, as we have a time of gathering with friends. Lord, I keep praying. Our nation is hurting. Please help us get through these times that our country is facing. I ask that everyone here would leave today having received a blessing. And may God bless America. Amen.
Amen.
Call to worship is found on your insert. Come gather in the presence of the one who transforms our ordinary into extraordinary. Thanks.
We come ready to witness the miracles of Christ, who turns water into wine.
Let us worship the Lord, whose zeal for God's house consumes him.
We worship the one who purifies our hearts and makes us whole.
Jesus reveals his glory, and his disciples believe in him.
We too believe and offer our praise to the Son of God.
Come, let us worship with joy, for the Lord is among us.
With gladness, we lift our voices to honor and adore him.
Our next hymn is on your insert on the back of the call to worship, and it's Power in the Blood. Hopefully some people will be familiar with it.
Could you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Could you for evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is how, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb.
Doxology.
Praise God from the
we thank you for your blood and the power that resides in it and through it. God, we thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed on each one of us through our talents, our abilities, our families, our lives that we've been able to live in and through you. God, we just ask that you accept a small portion of our thanks back in these forms of tithes and offerings this morning. As always, we ask that you multiply these funds, that you set them aside for your glory and for your kingdom, and we are always mindful as to their proper use. We give you these funds, we give you our lives, for you are victorious in all that you do and all that we do with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Time for prayers and concerns.
I talked to her, and she said that she's having another infusion on Tuesday.
She have one this past week, right?
She's having one this Tuesday.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if it's every week now. She didn't say
that.
Told
us last night she was having
one. Okay, anyhow, so she said she's just doing okay, and she sounded pretty cheerful, so okay. I was glad that I got to talk to her. So. Thank you so much for all the prayers and the cards he has received through all of this with his health. He is doing much better. He wants to get back to work, but not ready yet. He is just 3 weeks out of his surgery. God bless and thank all of you and family. And that was sent through the wounds. She has had a real battle. She had surgery 2 weeks, and she's had two more in between because things weren't going well. And she has to go back this next again. She's struggling, she's in a lot of pain. So that's why they're not here today. I know Butch. his surgery's a tour. He's been able to drive right off her, but he wanted to hear what the doctor's driving some now, and
yeah.
She's picking up her own mail now, and she even actually walked to the library, to the post office one day. And she said, I shouldn't have done that. I should have just taken like a walk halfway and gone back home and got in the car. Because you about did her in too much. But anyhow, she's working on it. She's doing real well.
Please put my niece in your prayer list. She's found out that she has cancer.
It's colon cancer. And it's metastasized into femoral organs.
So I got an urgent prayer request from a friend of mine from his church back at home. One of the church kiddos, Carson Prater, is in critical condition in Finley. He is being transported to Nationwide Children's Hospital in Finley at 1 today. He has a serious case of MRSA. So please keep him in prayers and keep his family in peace.
Spoke with her yesterday morning or the day before. She didn't get around even that much, so.
Yeah, actually, I took her into the doctor last. She's going to be scheduled for a stress test to see what's going on, so.
Yeah, I saw she's walking without a cane or anything, walker. Getting around pretty good, but a little bit I saw her. So it's good to see her out and about. And I stopped by and talked to Sunday. He's doing real well compared to what he went through. Getting his strength built back up. Can breathe a lot better now. So that's a good deal. Up and right, walking upright. Glad to have back with us. Got a lot of people, as you said last Sunday, we got a lot of people recuperating and healing.
On the mend.
On the mend, yeah. Without getting political. The ICE agents that are being harassed, they're being attacked when they go to clean up some areas in our cities. And doxed, if you know what that means. Their families are threatened. These guys are just trying to make America a better place. They're facing a lot of obstacles. So the men and women of ICE, they need our prayers. It's a very good prayer, Pastor.
All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the continuation of our sunshine. We anticipate the possibility of some rain this coming week. We thank you that we see so many of the farmers in the fields being able to harvest and get the crops out. We just ask that you continue to protect them as they are operating heavy machinery and working long hours under dangerous conditions. We just ask that you continue to be with our farmers in our community and others as they are serving us in our needs. God, we just ask that you're with as she faces what appears to be another infusion. We just ask that those be beneficial, that they give her her strength. It was good seeing her last week with Randy. Just ask that you continue to let her know that she is loved, they are prayed for. And God, we just ask that you continue to be with as they also continue to heal and to mend. It's good to hear that John is getting his strength back. We ask that you are with, had a couple setbacks this week. I know it can be discouraging when things seem to be going one way and they don't go the way we think they should go. But God, just ask that you continue to work all for good. That what we don't see in the natural, you know in the supernatural, and we just give it to you for your care and your guidance and your concern and your direction. We just ask that you continue to be with he struggling with his own issues. And God, I just personally ask that when it's no longer safe for him to be driving, that he allows somebody else to drive and he can be a passenger and hear all the things that the doctors have to say. But I just ask that you give him an extra dose of wisdom, that he not hurt himself, injure himself any more than he's already done over the years, and that hopefully will be taken care of in the next surgery that he has. We thank you for the good news. She's beginning to drive a little bit, and she's walking, and she's getting out and about. We just anticipate all of our brothers and sisters to return back to us, to worship with us, to share with us when they're all mended and healed. God, we just ask that you're with as she received terrible news of cancer. God, we can't heal. Doctors can't heal. But we know that you can if it's your will. If it is, we thank you and we will glorify you. But if it's not in this situation, we just ask that you give your comfort and your peace. That you're with her family, her friends, as they celebrate her life, as they look forward to whatever will happen in your direction. God, you are our strength, our comfort, our provider. And God, we just ask that you are with his family as they prepare to move him to Children's. And we just ask that you intervene, that you let him and the family know that they are being prayed for even here in Chesterville, Ohio. That your love and your reach cannot be contained by a city or a state or a principality. Allow us to remember all of these and pray for them as they come to our mind. We ask that you are with our dear friend as she continues to go through some diagnostics to see what her problems are. God, I know she was struggling with some insurance issues, and we pray that those were taken care of, that you'll provide for her what she needs and when she needs it in the time that we don't know, that we don't understand, but you do. She's just been such a bright light in this congregation, and I thank you that you've brought her to us. Let us to continue to lift her up in our prayers as well. And God, I just ask, as Lynn mentioned in his prayer earlier, our country is struggling. Our country is divided. Our country is going through some issues as innocent and as regular as disagreements on the Hill and shutting down the government. We just ask that you are with all of those individuals that are required to go to their jobs as government employees, the military, police forces, Secret Service, that are doing it right now because they need to. They don't know what the pay situation is going to be like moving forward, and I just pray that you would just instill our Congress and our Senate with an extra dose of wisdom. And God, as we have those who are out protecting us, the ICE agents, the military, the police force, fire, EMS, rescue, all of those people that have been tasked and who have volunteered to stand before us in the gap and stand between us and disaster, that you would protect them, that you would allow them to do the jobs that they have been sworn to do, that they've been instructed to do, that they do it properly, they do it professionally, they do it the way in which they were trained and instructed and required. But God, they all have families that they want to go home to at night. We just ask that you are protecting the military and the ICE agents and the police, fire. You would give them an extra dose of your protection. You would speak to us, the communities, that we would give them our support. That if we are in disagreement on an issue, that we would do like we've done for hundreds of years and come together and discuss and speak to one another civilly and come to some conclusions, but violence is never the answer. Be with us as a people. Be with us as a church congregation. Be with us as the bride that is awaiting the return of the groom. May we be pure. May we be right. May we be prepared for that time when God returns in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ, take us to the place where there is no more pain and no more death and no more crying. Until that time, God, we just ask that you give us your peace, your grace, and your mercy. That's the title of the message today. For how great thou art. We fall short. you will never fall short. Bring us closer into your grasp, your hug, your light. God, as we move forward and as we remember those who we want to pray for, let us remember that prayer that you taught us that we say every week here, for not because it's the thing to do, but it's because it's the right words at the right time. Instill in us, in our hearts, and in our minds that prayer that goes, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our prayer hymn is "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," 462 in your hymn book.
He talks about we are all justified by faith. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. and we boast of our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast of our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we are still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of God for the people of God. C.S. Lewis comments on this. God died for sinners. He loved us not because we were lovable, but because he is love. It may be that he loves all equally. He certainly loved all to the death, and I am not certain what that expression means. But if there is equality, it is in his love, not in us. Our message today: how great thou art.
I love that passage that we just read because it really is the only point of Christianity. As a father, I can't understand what God was doing when he put his son to death. Not for the righteous. Not because we loved him, but because we hated him and we despised him. And yet, God sent his son to suffer and die for all of us. Prayerfully, as we move forward in life, we become less and less that person and more and more Christ-like. But as we sit here today, we are all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, and yet he loves us more than we can ever imagine. And we will share this meal together in remembrance of that a little later. Carl Gustav Boberg was a Swedish pastor, editor, and a member of the Swedish Parliament. Pastor Boberg was enjoying a nice walk when a thunderstorm suddenly appeared out of nowhere. A severe wind began to blow, blowing things around. A terrible storm. But after the storm was over, Mr. Boberg looked out over the clear bay, and he heard a church bell ring in the distance. And the words of "How great thou art" began to form in his heart. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands hath made. Can you imagine what Boberg felt as he formed these words? There was such calmness after the fierce storm, and all he could do were utter these words of peace. I would be somewhat foolish if I did not pick this particular passage for the message this morning that I chose, this being 1 week from my ...40th wedding anniversary. I know I'm preaching to the choir when I say how quickly time flies. But I take us back to John 2, verses 1 and following, and that is the miracle at the wedding. John says, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." There's a few interactions that I would really have loved to have been present at in Scripture. This is one of the top three. Jesus, the wine's gone. "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, bypassing that entire statement of Jesus, "Why do you involve me? My time's not yet here." Servants, come here. Listen to what he's going to tell you to do, because he is going to tell you to do something. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." So here are these servants following the instruction of Jesus. Take these containers that we wash our feet in, fill them with water, and then dip some out and take it to the master of the banquet. Dirty feet water? Is that really what we're going to try to? So they did. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then they called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheap wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best until now." This is the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He thus revealed his glory to his disciples to put their faith in him. Will you please pray with me? Dear Lord, even the stories after we read them sometimes don't seem to make sense to us. The instructions that we get in Scripture, we want to ignore oftentimes, we want to argue oftentimes, we want to forget far too often. But God, in Scripture, the one thing that you always show us is how much you love us, how we will never disappoint you, and most of all, how great you are, how powerful you are, how loving you are, and yet while we were still sinners, you sent your Son that he may be the atonement for our sins. His ministry started at a wedding celebration. I will share that I feel my life too started at a wedding celebration as well. You are magnificent and glorious and life-giving. We just ask that you are with us this morning. You speak to us, that you give us your love, your tenderness, that we too may celebrate this day and always in Jesus' name. There's some things that we know absolutely about God. One of the things that we see in this interaction with Jesus and his disciples, and yes, mom, is that this could have been an extremely embarrassing situation for the bride and the groom. I've got to believe that Mary knew these people. Or she was at least sensitive to the dilemma that they were going to be in the middle of when they ran out of wine. And she knew that there was one person present, even though it wasn't his time. Even though God hadn't released him into his ministry yet, she knew who her son was and that he could take care of it. What this shows us is that God cares about our celebrations. God is in the midst of our celebrations. God is always in our celebrations. God is always trying to get us to celebrate a lot more than we do. We sometimes are a grumpy people. I frown. I complain, I fuss far too much for the person that I am in the love and the light of Christ. As we've said the last couple weeks here, we read the end of the book. And the problems and the pain and the struggles and the situations that we find ourselves in each and every day are a small price to pay for the glory that awaits us. God cares about our celebrations because God is in the midst of our celebrations. It was a long time ago. The one thing that sticks out, and it might be irrelevant today, but the one thing that sticks out about my wedding ceremony, other than the fact that she never ran off, we had a friend of the family that was our flower girl. She was 3. Those people who plan weddings would probably tell us not a great idea, but she was adorable. And so she would walk up with us and she would be next to Tammy as to try to keep some control over her. And for some reason, this has stuck in my brain all of these years. We were taken up to a kneeler, where Tammy and I kneeled and we had a prayer said for us, and Lindsay was there with us so that we could try to keep some control. And the kneeler was a little bit slanted, and so all we heard during our prayer was, and then a sliding. We'd pick up her flower basket, drop it on the kneeler. It would slide down. She'd pick it up, drop it on the kneeler. It's the little things in life. It's the little things in our celebrations that God burns into our minds for particular reasons. I have no idea. Lindsay is now a fine young woman, a mom, a wife. But God cares about our celebrations, and we can never, ever minimize that in our lives. Mark 5, while Jesus was speaking, some men came to the house of Jairus, synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except for Peter, James, and John. So when they came to the house of Jairus, you can imagine things were upheaval. "We just told you my daughter's dead. Why? We've heard so many stories of you. Why did you ignore me? Why are you so worked up, Jairus? She's not dead. She's sleeping." So he took mom and dad and the disciples into the room, and he tells the young lady to get up. See, because God cares about our mourning. We try to mourn too quickly. We try to pass by the pain as quickly as possible when a loved one leaves this earth. We try to look past it, and we try to argue, and we try to say, "Why now? Why him? Why her?" We try to argue. We try to figure out a way around it. We ignore it. We move. But God is in our mourning. God gives us the right way, the proper way, to mourn a loved one who has left and is now hopefully in glory. "I will make it official when I pass. I hope we have some old television playing, that we have fun, that we tell jokes." Because again, if we've read the end of the story, we know what waits on the other side. Death for us, if we've accepted Christ, is simply a passing from this life to the next. And I know that there are ramifications for those who have passed. We leave loved ones behind. We leave history behind. We leave things that we will never get to see. Maybe grandkids or great-grandkids or whatever it might be. And God wants us to rightfully mourn those losses, but not mourn the people who have passed because they are in paradise. Now, theologically, we can talk about how that works. Do we all go to sleep, and then once Jesus comes back, we all rise together? Do we all get to go to heaven immediately? That's not the purpose of this message this morning. The greatness of God is as much caring about our mourning as he is about our celebration. Mark 2, 1 through 5. A few days later, when Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered there that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him into Jesus because of the crowd. The greatest biblical event shy of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the guts that these four men who loved this man, maybe didn't even know this man, I don't know, climbed up onto the roof and dug a hole in the roof and dropped the man down in front of Jesus, for they knew that if they could only get him in front of Jesus, everything would be all right. Because God cares about our sickness. God cares about our conditions. And that is a great way to leave this morning. If we can just get our friends and our families in front of Jesus. And I will challenge you that the single most important way to get them in front of Jesus is to be like Jesus. In the way we talk, in the way we interact with those who have not yet found Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I'm very concerned with the way that some churches have interactions with those who are not cleaned up, those who are not presentable for church. Because those, again, are the people that Jesus ministered to. So as we go through our day, let us be always mindful of looking for the people that Jesus would be looking for if he was standing next to us. Because the greatness of God stands above and beyond all things that we see in the natural. Jesus sees heart, and he sees love, and he sees potential in each one of us, whether we're serving in a pastorate position or whether we've never heard of Christ before. So today, as we come to share our meal, let us do so with the mind and the eyes and the heart of Christ himself, who would be looking past all of those who are deemed successful in our society and looking into the hearts of those who struggle, who have not been cleaned up yet. Because the cleaning can only happen when Jesus enters into our lives. How great thou art. When the peace of our life takes over the storms that brew, as it did for this pastor, the only thing that we can say is how great is he who allows us to survive and to learn from the darkness of our days, and gives us the gloriousness that is found in his light and in his love. Would you please pray with me? Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for how great you are. We thank you for the strength that you give us, the eyes that you've given us to see the people that you would have us minister to and with. And God, as we, in a minute, share this meal together, let us do so with the right understanding that your Son died not because we were worthy, but just the opposite, because we were wholly and completely unworthy. And God, you knew that the only way that we would ever find perfection is through his blood. Be with us. Always remind us how great you are and how great we can be, sold out and committed to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Communion for me is one of the most important things that we do in the church. It reminds us of that night when Jesus and his disciples got together. The disciples totally clueless as to what was going to occur. But we come back in our tradition and many traditions every month and remember this because it is of great importance that we keep this always present in our minds and in our hearts and in our memories. Can we come and pass out the elements, please? And as always, when you get the cup and the bread, please hold it and we will take them as a family together. And as I was thinking about communion this morning, it reminded me of a news story that I heard this past week. I think I shared with you, I heard that during that terrible shooting of that Catholic church and school, there was one child who out of love and compassion for their friend threw their friend down on the ground and covered him. With her own body, taking some shotgun blasts in the back. I heard the family being talked to. She's gone through a number of surgeries to correct. But the light and the love and the way that young lady talks about the event, I've got to believe that that is the picture of Jesus that he would have for all of us. Scripture talks about no greater love than a man lay down his life for a friend. As we come this morning to this meal, this is the precursor for that very event in Scripture. Jesus invites his disciples for a meal. We have classified it as the Last Supper. They had no idea that it was anything other than a regular, ordinary supper. Until the meal was almost completed. And Jesus takes the bread, and he raises it, and he gives thanks, and he tells them that this bread, which is broken, is his body, given willingly for the forgiveness of their sins. Break and eat. And in the same way, after supper, he took his cup. He raised it and he gave thanks. And he told them to drink, that this represents the new covenant in his blood that will cover our sins, that will forgive us our sins and allow us to live in eternity. Drink. Dear Heavenly Father, you tell us to do this, and as often as we do this, we remember this event until you return. Allow us to remember this event in every activity that we do, in every day of our lives that we're blessed to be on this earth. Remind us that your Son died not because we were worthy, not because we had reached some pinnacle, not because we understood, not because we were learned, not because we were skilled, but because we were lost. And it's only through the death and the resurrection and the acceptance of this act in our lives, in our souls, that we too can strive to be found. We just ask that this simple element of bread and cup, while is not enough to nourish our bodies, it is plenty to nourish our souls. Be with us. Remind us daily of how much you love us, how much you care for us, and how great you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn is "To God Be the Glory," 98 in your hymn book.
Jesus, the Son.
Remind us there is a potluck, plenty of food downstairs. I will go ahead and bless the meal now so that we don't stand in anybody's way of getting in line. So let me go ahead and pray for the meal. Jesus, thank you for this day. We thank you for this people. I thank you for this group that has welcomed Tammy and I into the fold. We thank you for opportunities to come and to celebrate and to worship together and to fellowship. Thank you for the food that is downstairs waiting for us. I thank you and ask that you bless the hands that are prepared. That you use it to nourish our bodies. Use the fellowship to nourish our souls. Let us go from this place in your strength and in your power and in your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.